key question is put to the person in this parable. Give me an accounting of your management. Give me an accounting of your management. Well, we live in a nation where we have seen a lot of mismanagement by large corporations because no one's really asking the question, give an account for your management. It's at least not in the positive terms. Some of these large businessmen want an account, but they want to bend the rules to make the profits look good, if not profits for the company, at least the profits for the key shareholders and the key officers in the company. This is a business story. The quantities of oil and wheat that are dealt with here are not just household amounts. May even be an absent owner who has put a person in a place of stewardship, which is the biblical word, or manager that we would use today, to be over that business, and he gets words that things aren't going well. Actually, they use the same word that's used in another story we heard last week of the prodigal son. It said he was squandering the resources. Remember, the youngest son was squandering his inheritance on loose living. So Luke uses the same word in this parable that follows. Here is a manager of great resources entrusted with responsibility, and he is obviously mismanaging the business. And the CEO comes home and says, okay, give me an account of your management. Now, being a shrewd man who really didn't care that much about the property owned by the owner, he decided he was going to take care of himself. That sound familiar? Does that sound modern? Look after number one. And then when they get you in court, I swear I have done no wrong and the court will vindicate me. Yeah, we've seen that one before. Now, this man, I think, knew he was guilty, so he was just figuring out how to be shrewd and how to come out on the best side of this thing. He knew he was going to lose his job. So he said, well, how can I take care of myself and do something for myself, stash something away, or make it turn in my favor if I'm going to lose my job? You know, we do that a lot in this country with bankruptcy. These big businessmen put all these investments in multi-million dollar homes and things like that, and then they declare bankruptcy, and it's in their wife's name, and when they go to court over the business, they're covered. That was the kind of angle this guy was trying to work. He knew he wasn't strong enough to dig ditches. He knew he would be ashamed to beg, which really meant he was too proud to beg. And so we figured out, well, I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to go out and offer some of these people that owe my master a lot of money. I'm going to offer them a great deal. They're going to be so thankful to me when I lose my job, I'm going to have some people that kind of like me and going to take me in. And so we went out and made his tricky deals. Interestingly enough in the story, though, the man who owned it all was impressed by the shrewdness. And we don't know here, but he probably lost his job anyway. But he was impressed that this guy was shrewd enough to figure out a way to redeem himself a little bit. You know, we've got a little term for that, that the letters are CYA, that people do a lot. And if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, ask somebody. And then Jesus makes a rather amazing statement. He said that the children of this generation, dishonest managers, are shrewder in dealing with their own generation than the people of light. He's really saying that given the resources we have as Christians and as God's people, we don't work smart. We might work hard, but we don't work smart to reach the world. And that's the mission God has given us. It's here on our banner. The children of light are not as shrewd as the people of this world. And we have to be if we're going to reach out to this world and fulfill that mission. If we're going to go make disciples. If we're going to baptize them and make them members of the family of God. We've got to be shrewd, but honest. So what are the proposals that Jesus puts out? First of all, he tells us the simple truth in verse 9 that we, let me read that because it comes across kind of strange. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Now, how in the world do you put dishonest wealth and eternal homes in the same sentence? What Jesus is trying to tell us, first of all, is use your wealth, whatever you have, great or small, as a means, as an opportunity to help the people God would help in this world. And then when the things of this world are gone, then you've got a place in his kingdom. You've got a home to go to. You'll always have somebody to take care of you. You don't live dishonestly, but you take the things of this world and you use them in a godly way. Is this something we're doing, or is it mismanagement? Because you see, most Christians aren't particularly mismanaging. They're intentionally misusing God's resources. We're just actually not managing at all. We're missing management as Christians. We're missing the point that God expects us to be as shrewd a manager with whatever resources he's given us as this man was shrewd, even though he was dishonest. God expects us to be honest and use the means to do what God would do with that money. The second thing God tells us is if you're not faithful in a little bit, he's not going to give you more. That's what always amazes me about the people who just can't figure out how they can tithe, or they can't even figure out how they can give half a tithe to the church. I mean, it just blows my mind, because all I'm doing is convincing God by that behavior, don't give me more, God. I can't handle it. I've missed the opportunity to manage properly. Third thing God says in this whole idea of missed management, our not realizing God expects us to be managers of our resources, is if we're not faithful with worldly wealth, why do we think we're going to be faithful with spiritual wealth? Not only are we hurting ourselves financially in the here and now by not sharing what we have the way God wants us to, we're hurting ourselves spiritually now and in the future, because if we can't handle the worldly wealth right, why should we be entrusted with godly wealth, spiritual wealth? And sometimes if you get in a situation and you wonder, where is the real strength of my faith? Well, you've mismanaged. Not mismanage, you've missed managing your life appropriately. Fourth thing Jesus tells us, if we're not faithful with what belongs to another, because everything we have, everything we think we have belongs to God, we're just entrusted to use it properly. We just have it for a little while. And if we're not faithful with what belongs to another, our God, why should he give us heavenly treasure? We've missed the opportunity to manage again. You see, the way we use what we have, great or small, reveals who we serve, whether we're serving God or materialism, wealth, money, things. You know, there's a new commercial on TV. I think I saw it last week for the first time. You may have seen it. It's cute and a little bit shocking. It's a little brownie scout in her cute little uniform. It's a car commercial. That's a clue. I can't even remember what the car is. But anyway, she's going up to a woman to sell Girl Scout cookies. We all know about that, right? Cute little thing, pretty little long hair, all dressed up in her brownie outfit, got her clipboard with all the choices of the cookies you can get. And she goes up and says, Mrs. So-and-so, I want you to buy some cookies. And she just patronizes her and says, well, I don't have any money. And the little girl gets kind of indignant, and this was a little bit shocking, but she gets a little indignant and said, well, we all know you got a new car with alloy wheels and leather interior. And if you can afford that, I'm just going to put you down for four boxes. And she walks away. A woman in absolute shock. But you know, God knows what you've got. And I tell you what, it's just like that little girl. Everybody in the neighborhood knows what you've got. And most people in this church know what you've got. Because they see the cars you drive. They hear about the trips you take. They see you changing your wardrobe and spending more money on this kind of clothes or that kind of clothes. You see, when we live in community, we notice things like that, just like the little girl. And if we didn't notice, somebody else noticed, and we heard about it at church or at meeting when we met somebody from church about, they must have more than I thought they did because they just did so-and-so. Look what they spent on such and such. And then we look at the $13,000 plus deficit in our budget. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. Now, some of us may be mismanaging, but I think most of us have just missed managing what we have appropriately. And Jesus says, you know, if you're a Christian, I want you to be shrewd enough to find ways to manage what I've given you, great or small, so that you help me fulfill my purpose in this world. But I tell you what, I sure feel like that little brownie scout a lot of times. I'd like to go around with my clipboard and go up to people and say, I'm going to put you down for this much money this year. Because we all know you're making a whole lot more than you're giving. You know, there's a little part of me that like to be just like that little brownie scout. I'm going to put you down for four boxes. You can afford it. But our God says, I love a cheerful giver. But his message through our Lord Jesus Christ is, you can't outgive me. Because what you give, I will multiply. And I guess God sheds many a tear over how we cheat ourselves, thinking we're holding on to something that doesn't even belong to us in the first place. Are we mismanaging what God's given, or have we just missed management? Because one day, God's going to ask us, give me an account of your management. And when he does, what are you going to do? Let us pray. Lord, a lot of times we don't like it when we read subjects like this in Scripture and have to deal with them. And we forget that Jesus in his parables talk more about managing what we have than any other single subject as an illustration of our salvation. So when we get mad at the preacher about talking about money, we can just trace it right back to your son. Because he talked about that more than any other single thing connected with salvation. And we just don't get the message. We hadn't figured it out yet. That the struggles we have in our lives, we bring on ourselves because we have missed the opportunity to manage what we have appropriately. And all of our efforts to be smart and shrewd and wise and take care of ourselves and the people we love, we just end up hurting because we're not managing according to your word and your will. Help us to not miss another opportunity to manage in a godly way for the sake of our own lives, those we love, but above all, the Church of Jesus Christ. We ask your blessings in his holy name. Amen.